from stpcatalyst.com.
Joining me today on Impact Catalyst are Marlene Spalton and Mallory Dimmitt. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
So the pandemic has put new and untold levels of pressure on the community, on individuals, on families, on businesses, and on nonprofits in ways that we've really never experienced before. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen in the community from a mental health, how has the landscape of mental health changed in the last, since the pandemic started?
Well, before this all started, estimates of mental health crisis in people was, 1 in 5. Now it's 2 in 5. So that's a significant uptick. And what we're seeing and hearing and learning from experts is that it's something that's impacting all ages across all circumstances. There really isn't anyone immune to this. The isolation, the stress that people are under, from children who are isolated from friends and playmates and home instead of in school. And when they're in school, it's scary. If you're a little kid, as to what is really going on, to older people who are, locked up in their houses for now going on 9 or 10 months. So it's broad and increasing in greater numbers and will the longer this goes on. So we see it as a long-term effect of the pandemic.
Mallory, what has your experience been?
I just started learning really about mental health about 3 years ago after the death of my brother by suicide. And, kind of through that shock and grief, one of the first things I learned that really sticks with me is just that loneliness and isolation is at the root of many health causes, health issues, not just mental health. And as Marlene was stating, in this pandemic, everybody has increased experience now with isolation, and that's leading to increased loneliness. And I think that suffering is just greater. So Love for Lawrence is a granting organization, and a lot of the mental health partners that working in the Tampa Bay area have told us essentially that the need is just greater. They're seeing larger call volumes, the client base they need to serve is growing. And the way that they're doing that work has also changed in the pandemic, obviously to be more online, service oriented, and a little bit less in person. And so that's changed, also kind of the needs of the tools they use to react. And we're very proud to see their very quick shift to accommodate this increased volume, but certainly it's a growing problem in our area.
So there's been an increase in volume. There's been an increase in or a change in the delivery methodology of the care. Have you also heard that specific types of care have changed? Have there been new, obviously loneliness, it comes back to that, but pandemic stress is kind of different because you still have access to the internet. You still have access to technically friends and family. So people who may have thought they had a robust social life or a robust social connection network previously and still technically have that are still finding themselves feeling lonely simply from the decline in in-person interaction. So has there been a change in the nature of the care?
Well, we know mental health care has gone online, and for some people that's actually a benefit. They're finding that some people seem more comfortable talking with counselors and mental health professionals online. For others who are in a home where maybe the stress is coming from and they can't get privacy to have those conversations, it's more difficult. So part of what's, I think, complicated in dealing with mental health is it comes in so many different forms and as many different forms as there are people and the reasons for that crisis. So, we've seen practitioners pivot and offer options to people to get help. And I think that's been helpful. What has not been as possible are group meetings. And for some people, that's the best way to be around peers who they can be straightforward with and honest and candid. And they take away from that, being together strength. And that is more difficult to pull off. So there are both pros and cons in this pandemic. And I really applaud mental health professionals for trying to take advantage of the upside without letting the downside prohibit people from getting help.
I'll add to that, that I think it just takes an intentional focus on sort of two prong. One is breaking through and making that connection, even virtually, and just ensuring that that happens and that the reaching out is ongoing. And then the second, I think, is also being intentional about the time when you're not on Zoom or you're not trying to, have electronic communication. And it's really the self-care piece. And so that, kind of making, I think we're all learning to make space for connecting virtually and then also having times when we're not connecting and we're doing the grounding things that make us feel safe and comfortable at our home, whatever that self-care looks like for you.
You mentioned many different types of mental health issues people may experience. And when you think of physical health, one first aid kit is aspires to be able to treat most of the physical conditions that people may have. Now, you've taken that logic to a mental health first aid kit with an innovative new initiative. Mallory, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. The goal that Love for Lawrence is helping to support is basically to make mental health first aid as common as CPR, training, and just so that that toolkit helps people to be able to identify, understand, and respond to individuals in mental health crisis, much like you would in a first aid, crisis or accident. And, obviously, I think we're seeing the need for that knowledge to be not only at the employer level and at the responder level, certainly, and those folks have been getting this kind of training for some time, but really now more at the just individual and peer-to-peer level for your family, for your coworkers, and for people you encounter. To have this kind of training can help right at the onset of a mental health crisis for someone and, help maintain calm and help get the person the help that's needed. And so I'm so grateful that this training is now becoming more widely available in the Tampa Bay area and through these online opportunities, and that we're supporting a goal that's going to reach a lot of people with this important training.
So pushing that analogy a little bit further, you've actually brought a course and are promoting a course similar to a first aid course, but a mental health first aid course. Tell us a little bit about why you implemented this course, who it's for, and where people can find it.
Well, the National Council for Behavioral Health has a curriculum and a certification for people who take mental health first aid. So we have taken that course, where our partner is St. Petersburg College. They've put the course online so people can do it online in a couple of segments. They do a couple hours online individually to prep for the group meeting, which is a very small group meeting with trainers, where they complete the course. It's about 8 hours of work altogether. And after that, they're certified in mental health first aid in the same way you'd be certified in other kinds of first aid programs. We want everyone to consider taking the course. There isn't anyone who it wouldn't be helpful to. I took the course myself. Some things you think you know, you don't. And I feel so much better prepared that if by some chance I recognize that someone's struggling with a mental health challenge, I'll know what to do, I'll know what to say, and not worry about doing harm instead of good. But we are particularly interested in nonprofit staff who are sometimes in contact with people who are experiencing a mental health challenge, people in faith communities, and also people at educational institutions. We are especially interested in them taking the course. So the foundation is underwriting the cost of their tuition to take the course for free. But other people can also take it and pay the tuition of $125 and be certified as well. So we hope we'll have a mix of people from the kinds of organizations we're underwriting, but also just people who want to be good neighbors, good co-employees, good family members, and be able to feel equipped It gives the person taking the course a lot of self-assurance that you know what to do if you were in a situation where you could be helpful.
And Mallory, you mentioned one of the three elements was self-care. Do you feel like this course has it can get people down the road with self-care as well, even though it's geared towards helping others?
No, I haven't taken the course myself yet. I've signed up for a couple of weeks. But one part of the curriculum, you know, just in learning how to be that responsive partner to others also teaches you a lot, makes you think a lot about your own self-care. And so it's all reinforcing. And again, I'm just so grateful that these organizations have teamed up together to make this offering to the community. It's innovative and I think a great way to, you know, to actually be able to sign up and take the course through St. Petersburg College. Again, no matter who you are, that is available to you at a very low price point. And just, we know there's going to be great community benefit from having this be sort of more common language and tools that are just more readily available, you know, throughout our Tampa Bay area.
And we're really grateful to Love for Lawrence because they began their work approaching the stigma around mental health. And they've already made great progress in diminishing that, I think, in our community, that people are openly talking about the fact that many people face this. They might face it themselves. And it's something that, we want it to be something that people are feel free to talk about and to get help if they need it and also to help others when they need it. We think the course and more people trained in it will also help speed that along, that acceptance of mental health as a condition, any like physical conditions that can be treated. And, many people face a challenge, they get proper help, and then they go back on their way. And when we're talking about young children, college-age students with mental health challenges, it's an investment in their futures. And it's just, it's really feels very gratifying to know that we're helping people stay on course and adjust to those kinds of issues if they arise in their lives.
Very important work. We can't solve a problem if we can't acknowledge it as a problem. So Mallory,
That's right. Thank you.
Marlene, as always, the tireless and huge breadth of work that the Community Foundation of Tampa Bay does. It's always always inspiring to watch your group in action. And I appreciate your time and joining
us, Jeff,
today.
Thank you so much.
From stpetecatalyst.com.